Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Here on News Radio Pensacola, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And as you heard David talking about it, and we've been talking about it all day today, and of course this is the big story yesterday, is that we have the groundbreaking on the third phase of the Project Titan. That's the ST Engineering, ST Aerospace, Singapore Technologies, by the way. Maintenance, repair, and overhaul operation. We do maintenance, repair, and overhaul of boats at the port. And now we, since, 2016 is when they opened the first hangar, I think that's right. Anyway, we've been doing maintenance, repair, and overhaul of planes. At the first hangar and then the second hangar, and now they're groundbreaking on the third hangar. Yesterday, I was there, of course, had a good chance to talk with Matt Coughlin, the airport director, because I know people probably have questions related to just what this is going to do to impact. It's on the northwest, like it's on the tip inside, okay, of the airport. You know, the first two hangars are on the east side or off of Langley. This is off of 12th, where they, you know, cleared out all those houses years ago, and it was just woods, and then it was off limits. You couldn't even go back there, and now they're starting to tear down the trees and, you know, make space for the hangars and the other building for the educational project that they're going to have there. If you've seen, like, the storage unit that's being demolished, I think is part of all of this to make space for the ST Engineering 3, and then eventually, if it happens, fingers crossed, the 4 phase. But Matt Coughlin yesterday.
So we're here with Matt Coughlin. He is the director of the Pensacola International Airport. Matt, as I was just talking to Bill Hafner, we're basically halfway, right? We're beginning on the second half of this entire project on the northwestern corner of the airport now. How are you feeling today?
I feel great. You know, it's been a really a long road, but one well worth it because, a lot of these efforts, a lot of people don't realize, started in the 90s when we were acquiring property here. And through that, we were able to be positioned such that we could bring a project like this on board. You know, a project's going to be a game changer for the community. So it's wonderful to see this come to fruition, and it's going to be great to see another hangar go up.
Let's talk a little bit about operational impact, because obviously you and I have talked many times about increasing traffic, increasing passengers, increasing lines, increasing cars, and fixed infrastructure for handling all of that. And you're dealing with that in all kinds of ways. People might hear we're taking on more at Pensacola International Airport with this expansion, but the nature of this business doesn't really have much impact on those other challenges, right?
That's correct. So I would say where this impacts the airport is basically the number of operations, meaning how many times an aircraft flies in and how many times an aircraft departs. Believe it or not, when the aircraft come in for ST, they're here for a very long period of time. And so there's only very few operations relative to the entire airport operation. But the dividend is huge, obviously. So well worth it.
And in terms of ramp space, we're always talking about that, the ability to store aircraft. This land has been dedicated to this purpose for so long that that's not really a part of the calculus. You have other alternatives that you're working on, both for developing the new terminal and also for handling overnight storage of airplanes and parking, right?
Correct. So, you know, the airport has 1,400 acres, and we have to be very judicial on how we treat that land. So we do have plenty of land for this, and we do, through our master plan process, really have land dedicated for the growth of what we do first and foremost, and that is put passengers on airplanes. And so we have enough room to do 30 years worth of that. So
now you've been here in your most recent stint, and then before that you were here for a couple years as the assistant airport director. So you've seen a lot of the changes happening here. What's it like to just look out your window and see all these new buildings and new projects grow up, either on the civilian side or on the north end with these commercial projects with ST?
It's huge. And you know what? When you say that, the first thing I think of is the team here that allows that to happen. And you got a great team out here, and I couldn't be prouder of them and the hard work that goes into making this happen. And like I said, I just couldn't be prouder.
Matt Coughlin, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
Always. So, yeah, and also somebody had asked me the question, this is just going to be more disruption of the traffic on Langley if we're, you know, adding eventually, if you have a building and then a fourth building and then you add employees, then eventually 1,700 people getting in and out of Langley is going to make traffic even worse. These folks are not going to exit and enter onto Langley. I don't think. I have to double check with the city and just make sure that's the case, but I'm sure these folks are going to enter and exit off of Tip and 12th Avenue. So I don't think that's going to be any kind of an issue at all. One question that's been raised, though, is about this overall project in terms of the funding side of it. I'll talk to you about that in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
Well, if you're entering Whiting Field on Langley Street, you can expect to see that being backed up. Southbound on Davis Highway in Pensacola, building up right outside of West Florida Hospital going north and southbound. And Palafox Street, if you're driving on Palafox Street this morning, southbound and northbound in between Fairfield and Jordan, looking to be building up steadily. If you see anything on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This report is sponsored by Summit Racing Equipment. Shop summitracing.com to find the perfect gift for dad. Use promo code RADIO for $10 off an order of $100 or more. Exclusions apply. Offer ends June 23rd, 2024. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. If you have a company, you have employees, you have benefits for your employees because, you know, that's what you do. You take care of your folks. And so they have health insurance. They have dental, vision, life, and disability. Or you as managing folks, you have HR, you know, you have payroll. These are the things you have to do when you have employees. And you probably didn't get into business because you love that stuff, unless that's your business. And if it is, you would be Torgerson Causey. But since you're not, you did it because you like working on the law or building things or HVAC or IT or autos or whatever it is you work on. And probably your passion is not the kind of red tapey, paperworky kind of stuff that goes along with all of that stuff, but you want to make sure you do right by your employees. Well, that's why you call Torgerson Causey, because they will handle all of that for you. They are a comprehensive employee benefits agency. We've been using them now for, gosh, 7 years, I think, something like that. They kind of came to us a couple of, you know, 7 or so years ago in Cat Country and ESPN Pensacola, and we converted over to using them, and I didn't realize how much better that would be for us in terms of, you know, health insurance type stuff and the questions that we have to ask and their ability to give us good answers than what we had before. But they have been fantastic. I wholeheartedly endorse them. They are who we use here at News Radio. Torgerson Causey, give them a call today. No obligation review of your business, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. Back quickly for a moment to the question of funding for the Phase 3 and then eventually the Phase 4. The total cost of this project as sunk already or as committed already is $210 million. And of that, $56 million comes from Triumph, so about, you know, about a quarter comes from BP oil spill money to create jobs. Then you take out ST Engineering at $35 million, which is their own, you know, they're putting it in. So the rest of it after that runs you somewhere in the vicinity of, I didn't do the math real well, but $110, $120 million, something like that. And if you divide that out by 1,700 jobs, best case scenario, you get, you know, somewhere in the vicinity of 70 or 80,000. If you keep the Triumph money in, it's more like 100,000 a job. I'd said 120 last hour. I was forgetting about ST's contribution. So for jobs that are paying in the, what, 50 to 70 range, something like that, then you're talking about putting in about a year to a year and a half to maybe not quite 2 years worth of salary for each job of public money, which, that might seem like a lot. That might seem like a good deal if you create ongoing jobs. I know I talked to Bill Hafner yesterday, and as we well know, one of the big challenges for ST has been getting people to do the jobs. You know, there's no shortage of clients. There are aircraft companies, you know, commercial and, you know, cargo transport that are just waiting for the opportunity to bring their planes here. We just can't service them because we don't have enough people to do the facility. And we're building the facility in order to have more, but if we don't have the people, then that's why the training program with PSC. But yeah, the cost up front per job is it's a significant price. And we still have people in the community who are in disagreement over whether it was good or not good to spend that kind of money to get this diversification of this ability. I see it both ways. I do. I see it as an opportunity for growth and something good for the community, and I also see it as a pretty hefty price tag that somebody has to pay. So I would say that I am not completely sold, but I'm also not completely skeptical, and probably at this point it maybe doesn't matter so much what I think because the project is in, or at least mostly in, except for Phase 4, and, you know, now it's a question of seeing whether we get Phase 4 completed entirely. 619 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you have a home improvement project that you're working on, you need to build, rebuild, repair something, or, you know, you got an idea and you want to do it yourself, hey, Pensacola Hardware, they're the place to go. They have been helping people do this kind of stuff since 1851. That is an amazing thing. 1851. So for 173 years, they have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola right downtown. That means that they have all the products you need. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Seriously, you go there and they don't have it there, and you'd be like, well, I need this thing. They're like, you don't really. Here's what you need instead. And they'll help teach you how to do it because that's what they've been doing. They have that institutional knowledge. You know, sometimes you go to the home improvement store and you know more than the person in the smock. That'll not happen at Pensacola Hardware. They'll know more, and they'll be able to help you out. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, Pensacola Hardware.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon, the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Stewart with the University of West Florida. Since 1969, UWF has offered graduate programs to provide expanded education and training for professionals in Northwest Florida. Join members of the UWF Graduate School on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss graduate programs at UWF and the resources provided to prospective students. That's tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
The doctor's office that mixed up your files has your Social Security number. The power company that mistakenly cut your service has your payment info and last three addresses. Your info is in endless places that could accidentally expose your info to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code CLAY at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
So, I don't want to get into the particulars of this whole Caitlin Clark thing with the rough foul and the treatment and the envy and the jealousy and the bickering and the infighting. It's people are people, you know? People are people. Now, apparently, you've got one WNBA star who is saying that race is the reason that Caitlin Clark is so popular. Sure. Because she's white. That's the reason. Jimmy, do you know of any, let's say, black basketball stars in the NBA?
I'm not commenting on this.
that I don't know, people have liked a lot and bought their jerseys and worn their footwear, and I'm not. Who was that guy that played for the Bulls? Who was that guy that
I'm not a sports
guy. I think the
guy.
Number was 23. I think was it no Michael idea. Jordan? Was that the guy? Was it Kobe Bryant? Was it LeBron James? It's all about race. That's right. Good Lord. Come on. Why do you make it so hard? Jealousy's ugly. 6:24 on News Radio Pensacola. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, not a lot of surprises in the primaries yesterday across five states. Voters in Iowa, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota chose Joe Biden and Donald Trump in their respective primaries. In New Jersey, Congressman Andy Kim beat Senator Bob Menendez, who is still facing trial on bribery charges. Veterans who stormed the beaches of Normandy in France are in are in France for the 80th anniversary of D-Day this week. Many of those veterans now older than 100 years old. There's ceremonies planned to mark the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And Governor DeSantis is expected to approve a $17 billion investment deal with Disney World today. The New York Sun says a deal could be announced as soon as this afternoon that would include new additions to the theme park and commitments from Disney to develop employee housing, as well as the state promising to maintain the necessary infrastructure.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Jimmy now has traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
Well, if you are heading north or southbound on North Palafox Street, you can expect to see some traffic built up in between Tahar Drive and Jordan Street. Traffic is building up downtown on 9th Avenue and Cervantes, and actually all along 9th Avenue heading southbound at the intersections of Gregory Street and Chase Street. And heading out to the beach, you can expect to see a little bit of backup on Chase Street and Bayfront Parkway. Other than that, Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you might expect to see a little bit of slowdown right before the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve heading westbound on 98. And Pace and Milton, you guys are looking pretty good on Woodbine and Chemukla at their intersections with US 90 and clear over US 90 into Pensacola. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Bank of America. Bank of America has powerful digital solutions for local and global businesses, so you can make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So name, image, and likeness has now been approved for high school players. This is, man, this moved fast. You know, I remember for the longest time, the argument was we can't have any compensation for college athletes of any kind because it's going to completely ruin the amateur nature of the sport, right? You know, because there's no money in college athletics at all. it's always the most absurd system. But so they, you know, with pioneering efforts by, for example, here in the state of Florida, but some other states as well. And now we have name, image, and likeness, right? So if you're an athlete and they want to use your avatar on a video game, you can get paid for that. They want to sell your jersey, you can get paid for that. You know, there's all of these things, right? If you want to have, I don't know, a sponsorship deal on your Instagram account, that's all stuff that you can do. And you can make a pretty penny doing that. Now it's, and then, so that's in. And then the question is, well, what about high school? Because high school kids are cultivating a brand, and they're known, and they have followers, and can they make money? And the answer heretofore had always been, no, 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 we can't have people making money in high school. That's no good. They need to work at, you know, Burger King instead. So it's funny when you think through all these things. Anyway, so the FHSAA, Florida High School Athletic Association, has now approved yesterday. They have approved name, image, and likeness funding so that high school players, in effect, like upcoming school year, like this fall, student athletes and their parents or guardians are required to negotiate NIL activities independent of their school district or FHSAA. So that you don't, you know, you're not going to have like Washington High School working out deals for sponsors and advertisers or any form of NIL payment for the athletes that go to Washington High School. It's not going to work like that. The high school is not going to be involved. But they have now allowed, this is a reversal, they have allowed agents. The previous proposal was that you wouldn't be able to hire an agent. You know, no Jerry Maguire for you. But now you can. That's totally fine, which I actually agree with that. It doesn't make sense that you can have these deals, but you can't have any professional working on behalf of you to secure the deals. Like, that was always a weird, I didn't understand what they were trying to do with that. But so there are other restrictions. You can't use the school logo, the uniform, or any equipment. Unless you get specific permission to do so. You can't endorse alcohol, tobacco, vaping, gambling, weapons, or cannabis products, and no prescription drugs. So I guess your high school quarterback won't be endorsing your Ozempic or your, you know, that can't happen. You know, come on down to vaping stuff. Nope, can't do that. Not going to work. Also, you cannot be engaged in political or social activism endorsements. I don't understand this either, because that seems more like a speech restriction. I can understand some of the other content categories, but you basically, I'm trying to work my way through how this would work. So, like, let's imagine that the Biden campaign thought that the way to get out the youth vote was to pay some local high school athletes to talk up the Biden campaign on their Instagram account. No, you can't do that because it's political activism. And no social activism either. So I guess they can be activists for climate change. Just can't get paid for it, I guess. And also no collectives, which is kind of a, like, large agencies that work for a whole bunch of different people apparently not able to do that. So I asked for a statement from Santa Rosa County Superintendent Karen Barber, and the basic statement is that they're going to comply, and they're looking at, of course, what all of this really means. I'm sure Escambia would say basically the same thing. So I think it's yet to be determined exactly the shape of this coming up this fall, but it's a big deal for people who play sports and are good at it in college and high school.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Biden has landed in France to mark the 80th anniversary of D-Day.
President Biden will make remarks and participate in other commemorations with European leaders. A day later, the White House says the president will speak at Pointe du Hoc about the importance of defending freedom and democracy.
That's Fox's Jared Halper. Now, before heading out, the president took executive action on the border.
Biden's executive action shuts down the border after a consecutive seven-day average of 2,500 encounters a day. It only reopens after encounters drop to 1,500 a day. Illegal immigrants to receive a minimum five-year ban on reentry and can be criminally prosecuted.
That's Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. Some Democrats expressed disappointment over the action, and Hunter Biden's gun trial will resume at the federal courthouse in Delaware. His ex-wife expected to take the stand. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 77 degrees and partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Escambia County deputies say a 24-year-old Pensacola man is in custody, accused of killing his father. According to Channel 3, Jalen Prude was arrested on Monday on second-degree murder charges. Investigators say on Monday morning, two men arrived at a home on Oak Knoll Lane to install an air conditioning unit. When they went inside through the back door, they found the victim dead in the living room. Deputies say they found shell casings on the floor of the home. Two cars that had been at the home on Sunday night were found, one on Corriedale Drive. That one was along with Prude, while another was at Sanders Beach. Prude now being held without bond. Opening arguments have started in the trial of a Fort Walton Beach woman accused of killing her infant son in a botched murder-suicide attempt. That was in March of 2020 when 35-year-old Maria Barnes and 5-month-old Jackson Barnes were found in a car at the Okaloosa Beach boardwalk.
We'll show you that shortly after she said, "I'm sorry for what I'm about to do," she hit send on a note she began the night before, put a gun to the side of her infant son, and shot him in the back seat of her truck.
Prosecutors say Barnes killed her son, then tried to kill herself after her husband had asked for a divorce. Well, looks like the ADA complaint that was filed against the city of Gulf Breeze's popular dog park should be resolved by the end of the week. City manager Sam Abel says after reviewing that complaint with their ADA compliance experts, the city is making a few changes.
And we are actually pouring concrete yesterday and today for ADA parking and sidewalks that will go to both the entrances of our small and large dog park, but not within the park itself. So because it's an animal enclosure, we're leaving that for, you know, our dogs, and it will be in its very pretty, you know, primitive state.
Abel says the park should be reopened by the end of the week. The complaints started between two dog owners that just couldn't get along, then filed a series of complaints and FOIA requests against each other, and ultimately the ADA complaint against the park. The end result is a new code of conduct for the two-legged users of that park. The FHSAA's board of directors has approved a money-making name and image likeness policy for high school athletics.
It is not something that is going to be written in stone in perpetuity. We can go back to the bylaw repeatedly and tweak it with whatever we see would be appropriate.
And the board began working on that name, image, likeness policy back in February. They've held a few workshops prior to the vote yesterday. Florida is now the 36th state to adopt name, image, likeness language, which would allow high school student athletes to profit from their name. Within hours of the vote, the top wide receiver prospects in South Florida had announced deals with American Eagle. And today looks like take three for Boeing as they try to launch their Starliner aircraft on its maiden crewed flight. The first two attempts that would have taken NASA astronauts Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams to the space station were scrubbed for various technical glitches. Last Saturday, the mission was aborted less than 4 minutes before scheduled liftoff. Today's launch, scheduled for 9:52 this morning. It is 6:35. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jimmy.
Well, if you're heading into Pensacola from Cantonment, you can expect to see some slight slowdowns on U.S. South Highway 29. Pace and Milton, you guys are looking good on Woodbine and Chemukla at the intersections of U.S. 90, clear all the way into Pensacola. If you're entering Whiting Field this morning, you can expect to see some traffic backed up on Langley Street almost all the way to U.S. 87, so expect some delays there. And Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you guys are looking pretty good all the way westbound down 98 into Pensacola this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
There will be just a small chance of a stray sprinkle, 20% chance of rain overall today, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Thursday, pop-up showers and thunderstorms with a 60% chance of rain, high on Thursday near 88. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 76 degrees and just a small rain chance Friday, 30% with a high near 92. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 77 in Pensacola, 79 in Gulf Breeze, 77 in Milton. Your next news at 7 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
You love your car or truck, right? We love it too. This is Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories. For a cooler summer and protections from harmful UV rays, we'll tint the windows. For safety and security, we have alarms, backup cameras, and dash cams. And for the most beautiful vehicle on the block, our full detailing service will make it look brand new. We have so many custom accessories, it's impossible to list them all here. So come see us at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories on Industrial Boulevard at W Street, just north of Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be talking about Father's Day, Beer Fest, dinner with strings attached, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
State Senator Doug Broxson, Florida House Representatives Michelle Salzman, Alex Andrade, Dr. Joel Rudman, and Pat Maney.
What do they all have in common?
They'll answer your questions live on WSRE's Legislative Review.
Simulcast on News Radio Pensacola.
Email your questions to info@WSRE.com or message WSRE on Facebook. Then watch WSRE or listen to News Radio Pensacola Monday, June 10th at 7 p.m. for Legislative Review. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Came across this song. It's off of Songs of Experience or something like that for U2. It's a wonderful song, and I heard it, and I'm like, a red flag day? Oh, man, we can use this for Dave Greenwood. And then I'm like, let's go on the water. Maybe not. But with the change in policy, now maybe we can use it. Okay, so if you haven't been following this news, there has been what I consider to be a major change in beach safety rules here in Escambia County. So that would be Pensacola Beach, and of course, now that Perdido has staffed guards, you would have the same issue going out there. But historically, the way it has worked is, you know, green flag is low hazard. Okay, yellow flag is moderate surf, you know, medium to higher hazard. And then red flag is no swimming. only surfers. The idea being that, you know, the only time you'd go surfing is on a red flag day. So, you know, you're not going to typically go out surfing on a yellow flag. It's not good enough. But, you know, you want to be able to allow surfers who are capable swimmers who have, you know, they're attached to a life saving device, whatever, or they're close to it. Okay. And then double red flag, or sorry. And then, so red flag means no swimming except surfers. And then double red flag means water's totally closed. Nobody goes in it. That's what, as I've been living here 10 years, that's been the rule in Pensacola. Now, in other places, they have a different rule. And they have different standards. They have the same flags, but the difference is what a red flag means. So in other places, when it's single red flag, that's, it's okay to go in the water if you're a strong swimmer, but be careful. Double red flag is water's closed. And so this created confusion. Because people who would come here would not know our system, or our people would go there and they would not know their system. And, you know, there was an inconsistency. And the question was always, well, which way would we go? And there are different standards, and that's the problem. So now, as of last Saturday, although we just got the news release yesterday, so I think that's kind of weird, but okay. As of last Saturday, the system in Escambia County has been aligned with everybody else. And so, whether you go to Gulf Shores, you go to Navarre, or you go to Pensacola Beach, or you go to Walton or Okaloosa, or wherever, the system is green is low hazard, calm, yellow, medium hazard, moderate surf and or currents, red flag, high hazard, high surf and or dangerous currents, beach patrons encouraged to remain out of the water. Encouraged to remain out of the water. Double red flag, water's closed, no swimming or wading. And then, of course, there's always purple, which is, you know, stinging marine life, okay? So this is a change. Dave Greenwood in the press release, and we'll talk to him about this, talk with him about this on Friday. Our lifeguards are revising our beach flag system to remain consistent with our fellow agencies along the Gulf of Mexico. Now we will fly double red flags when we close the Gulf to all swimming and wading. We want to remind our beach patrons always to be cautious when entering the Gulf of Mexico. So the double red flag technically hasn't changed because it used to mean water's totally closed. It now means water's totally closed. The difference is what a red flag means. Right? A red flag means that the water is open, but you're discouraged from using it. Okay? So the way I see this, and I'll talk with Dave about this tomorrow, is one of two different things. Either the red flag, you know, the conditions, the like thresholds at which you put the flags out are going to change. As in, you know, what is now going to be a double red used to be a single red, in which case there's been no change in safety, right? Because you're just changing which marker you put out at what level. Or we're going to continue to have the same standards for when we put out a red flag and a double red flag. It's just that now we're allowing you to swim with a red flag, which means that safety has changed. Because what used to have been a prohibited is now going to be a discouraged. So I don't know the answer to that. I'm assuming, okay, I'm always dangerous, but I'm assuming that we have not changed our standard for the flags. What we have instead changed is simply the markers. But I don't know, and I don't want to take that for granted. In any case, we'll talk about this with Dave tomorrow. But here's where this is fascinating to me. This is going to require a change in ordinance. Well, maybe not require. The county commission has their meeting tomorrow. I looked yesterday. It does not appear to be on the agenda. It's possible I missed it, but I don't think I did. So on the agenda tomorrow, there is nothing that would change the countywide ordinance, because one of the key factors in the development of beach safety in Escambia County was, you know, people used to drown a lot on a beach. It was dangerous and bad for tourism, bad for people. And so then we put in an ordinance because the lifeguards didn't have any authority. The lifeguard would say, hey, don't go in the water. And you'd say, or what? And the lifeguard would be like, or I don't know. Just don't drown, okay? Whereas when you put in the law, there's a law that actually says, an ordinance that says, if the guard gives you a reasonable command to get out of the water, you got to get out of the water. Reasonable command includes, for example, that it is prohibited to go in the water when the red flag is flying. So the section you'd want to look at, if you want to look at all this, is in the Escambia Codes. It's Article 2, Parks and Recreational Activities and Areas, 74-36, which designates all beaches, parks, parkways, playgrounds, piers, recreational areas, recreational centers, and the old Pensacola Bay Bridge, which, of course, you can't use now, but which when it was usable, all of which are collectively designated as parks and recreational areas. And then you get all the way down to section 18, where it says, no person may deliberately disobey a reasonable command made when such a person, while such a person is using the beach or any structure thereon owned or operated by Escambia County. And reasonable commands are for your safety, okay? Has to be made by the director of public safety or their emissary, basically. Reasonable command must be preceded by a verbal warning. So you can't cite somebody until they say no. But if you tell them to get out of the water, for example, and they don't when they have to, then you can cite them. If it's jeopardizing the safety of people using the beach, structures they're on, and the person has to be given a reasonable opportunity to comply with the warning, a reasonable command shall be made in the presence of the Escambia County Sheriff or one of his or her deputies. So I guess you got to call a deputy over. But a reasonable command shall include but is not limited to the following commands. And then if you go down to number 7, it says to refrain from entering the Gulf of Mexico during red flag or double red flag conditions. So they're not enforcing the single red flag, but the single red flag prohibition is still on the books. Now, of course, the lifeguards and or the sheriff's office can always choose to under-enforce the law according to a standard policy, but I think they're going to want to change this ordinance in order to align it with the announced policy. But, of course, in reading through this, it got me reading the ordinances, which there's all kinds of interesting stuff in there. We've talked about this a little bit before, but it's worth repeating because there are fascinating things you can't do in public parks in Escambia County, and every once in a while, it's good to remind people of what the law is, so I'll do that in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
Well, if you're entering Whiting Field, you can expect to see some slowdown on Langley Street, not as bad as it was earlier, but still built up there a little bit. And if you're coming in from Pace or Milton to Pensacola, Woodbine is building up slowly but surely, but clear as you get on the US 90 bridge. And traffic in Pensacola building up on Davis and Johnson Avenue at that intersection right outside of West Florida Hospital. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping, call us today for all of your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
So if you're selling a home, what you hope to have happen is what? It takes a long time. Doesn't feel like you're making any progress. You get frustrated. And then eventually when you do sell the home, you have to sell it at a price that was much lower than you really intended. And you feel bad about the whole thing forever and ever. No, I mean, that's not what you want. What you hope is quick, easy, painless, high price. Right? That's what you're hoping for. Okay. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, that's what they specialize in. And they do all kinds of little things to accomplish that end result, which they have an incredible track record of doing. 175 homes they sold last year. It's pretty good. For example, how to stage, how to list, how to set up the open house, how to price it. How you price it has a big impact on whether you get a good price in the end or not. And even how to photograph it. You might think that's a small thing, and okay, it's not. Because how do people shop for houses? They go online to look at pictures. If they go online and look at pictures and the pictures are, you know, mediocre, what are you going to get? A pretty low turnout for your open house. People aren't going to be all that interested. They're going to undervalue the house, right? Or if you show spectacular pictures, people show up and they're interested and they're eager and they're bright-eyed and they think, oh my God, this is a great deal. You know, okay, and they're going to pay more and do it more quickly. That's the goal. So it's all kinds of little things like that that Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty do to make sure that you get the result you want, not the other one. 723-9158. Give her a call. Talk to her today. Now, back to this question about in parks and on beaches in Escambia County. These are just some of the rules. This is not the entirety of it, but I'm going to go over some of the rules because every time I read this list, and I've read it a couple times, every time I read it, I always am reminded of things I had forgotten. Number two, dogs, cats, and other animals, so no pet ferrets, are prohibited from and shall not be allowed on or into the confines of any county park or recreation area except in areas set aside for such animals. So you technically can't walk your dog in the park, according to this, okay? You can't walk your cat, can't walk your pet gerbil, you know, your gecko, whatever. It is prohibited to make or kindle any fire for any purpose except in places specifically provided for that. Skipping down, overnight camping of any type, not allowed at any county park or recreational area. That includes house trailers, travel trailers, mobile camps, mobile campers, tents, or any other shelter, except where specifically provided and designated for overnight camping. Which is kind of interesting because that means that the state ordinance that just went into place prohibiting overnight camping is already part of our law in Escambia County, just as a thought. Number 9, the carrying or discharging of any firecrackers, rockets, torpedoes, the what now? Or any fireworks are prohibited except by special written permits granted by the county administrator or his designee. So on the 4th of July, when it's legal to shoot off fireworks, it's still not legal to do so in a county park or on the beach. 10. It is prohibited to cut, break into, injure, deface, or disturb any tree, shrub, plant, building, wall, fence, bench, or other structure, apparatus, or property, or to pluck, pull up, cut, take, or remove any shrub, tree, bush, plant, flower, or sign, or mark or write upon any building, fence, beach, sign, or other structure. Now, generally, this is the no graffiti rule, but it also says you can't pluck the flowers in a county park. Or even, I mean, I guess the blade of grass, but, you know, probably not going to get in trouble for that. Number 11, it is prohibited to catch, injure, destroy, or interfere in any way with birds, squirrels, or any wild animals. Now, Jimmy, pay attention. Except poisonous reptiles. So, in a county park, if you catch, injure, destroy, or interfere in any way with, you can't, if they're running at you and you get in the way, trouble. So when the, you know, albino squirrels are coming your way, be careful. But poisonous reptiles are okay to catch, injure, destroy, or interfere with, but nothing else. Number 12, it is prohibited to drive or operate any motor vehicle in excess of 15 miles an hour unless otherwise posted. I didn't know the default was 15 miles an hour. God, 15 miles an hour is so slow. It is prohibited to picnic or lunch in a place other than in areas designated for that purpose. Now, it doesn't really do a good job of defining what picnicking or lunching is, but if you take food to the beach, can you eat it on the beach legally? It seems like the answer is no. The use of glass containers of any type for food or drink is prohibited in any county park or recreational area. So no jar of Vlasics. Not allowed. Permits required for any special events. Let's see, going down. It is prohibited to ride bicycles. Tricycles. Jimmy, this is for you. No tricycle riding in the public parks in Escambia County or other non-motorized vehicles in any county park or recreational area except on designated biking paths.
Good luck trying to stop me on my tricycle.
No off-roading trikes.
They obviously don't know how fast I can go.
I understand. I've seen you. You're a flurry of activity. We ban tricycles in parks? Unless you're on the path?
Well, we don't want any, you know, no, kids
hooligans
playing in the parks.
Roaming gangs of seven-year-olds. on their big wheels and their green machines. It is prohibited to drive, chip, or hit golf balls on any athletic field in any county park or recreational area except in designated golfing areas. No person, so no night putting. Also, no camping. That was it. Sorry. Just one last one. The reasonable commands part, you know, the part that says if you're swimming in the Gulf during red flag or double red flag, the one I think they're probably going to have to change the ordinance on. A reasonable command shall include, but is not limited to, so they can give you other reasonable commands not specified, to cease fishing, including shark fishing and spear fishing too close to bathers, that's swimmers, to cease operating any non-motorized boat or kayak too close to bathers, that's swimmers. So if they think you're a dangerous paddleboarder, they can tell you, move away. To cease playing games or throwing or tossing objects or balls such as baseballs, volleyballs, and footballs, not listed the frisbee, but presumably included, when the safety of others is endangered. To cease digging holes or tunnels in the sand to the extent it endangers the safety of the persons digging or tunneling or the safety of others. To cease climbing on the lifeguard towers. Aw, dang. To cease jumping or diving off the Gulf Pier, the Quiet Water Pier, or any other public pier or structure. And then, you know, there's other ones. If you're drunk, you cannot go in the Gulf. Seriously, to refrain from entering the Gulf of Mexico or Santa Rosa Sound when, in the opinion of the Director of Public Safety, the Water Safety Supervisor, or the Senior Lifeguards of Escambia County, a person is impaired by alcohol or any other substance to the extent that entering the Gulf of Mexico or Santa Rosa Sound endangers that person or other persons. So Spicoli can't go to our beach. To refrain from entering the Gulf of Mexico and swimming under or around the Gulf Pier during yellow flag, red flag, or double red flag conditions, or when there is anyone fishing from the pier. To refrain from re-entering. This is always my favorite one. If you get told to get out of the Gulf for your safety, you can't re-enter it for 24 hours. And to remove objects or structures like tents, which impair a lifeguard's ability to monitor the safety of the bathers, swimmers, or to perform the duties of a lifeguard. So if there are too many tents up or, you know, shade structures or whatever. So, I don't know. It's every once in a while you ought to read the law. So, there you go. That's your law in Escambia County. 655 on News Radio Pensacola. Anything in there that concerns you, Jimmy, that you're worried about that you won't be able to do anymore?
Oh, no. Just no more fun on the beach. Is that the...
That's the no more fun on the beach rule.
And they have those cameras installed in the boardwalk so they can tell if we're having...
If you're having fun on the beach. That's right.
Cool. Yeah, All right. Good.
That's great. Go ahead and tell them about the traffic.
If you are entering Whiting Field on Langley Street, you can expect to see a little bit of a slowdown this morning. Not as bad as it was. Pace and Milton looking pretty good on Woodbine still. Clear over the U.S. 90 bridge into Pensacola. And traffic still a little bit built up on Davis and Johnson right outside of the West Florida Hospital. If you are driving eastbound on Beverly Parkway, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up right before the North Palafox intersection, but clearing up as you pass I-10 and it turns into Brent Lane. If you see anything on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Veris Health Partners knows there are plenty of options when it comes to insurance. Owners Pam and Keith Giles will help guide you to choose the best plans for you and your family. As a veteran-owned independent health and life agency in Pensacola, their clients range from moms and dads on Medicare to individuals, families, business owners, and veterans who are looking for answers. They are researchers, educators, and advocates who take pride in guiding clients to become smart healthcare shoppers. Contact them at verishp.com. Veris Health Partners.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Does not compute. Does not compute. Does not compute.
In my head, this just means Mark McGuire's getting ready to bat. 6:58 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
One of the world's largest securities firms and global investment company are backing a project to start a new national stock exchange in Texas. Citadel Securities and BlackRock among the investors for the new Texas Stock Exchange. Chairman James Lee says the group has raised about $120 billion for that project so far. And Muhammad Ali's childhood home is on the market, Andrew. Christie International Real Estate announced on Tuesday that the boxing legend's boyhood home in Louisville, Kentucky is now for sale. So if you'd like to purchase the home, it is the same one that he lived at from the age 4 to 18 when he won the gold medal for boxing in 1960 at the Summer Olympics.
Okay. All right. Very good. David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, somebody says, does it really say poisonous reptiles rather than venomous? It does. That means you technically can't kill a rattlesnake?
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.